Join 5,000 attendees for the largest AI event in Asia at Super AI Singapore, the 5th and 6th of June, 2024. Raoul Pal will hit the stage with Edward Snowden, Benedict Evans, Balaji Srinivasan, and over 150 others, joining the industry's most influential to explore and unveil the next wave of transformative AI technologies. With 5,000 attendees and a diverse range of side events, Singapore will become a vibrant AI hub for a full week from the 3rd to the 9th of June. Visit realvision.com/superAI to register and get 20% off tickets with the code REALVISION. Link in the description.
Hey everyone, I'm Raoul Pal, and this is my show, The Journeyman, where we kind of get to the nexus between crypto, macro, and the exponential age of technology. One of the things that I've searched for in my investing life, which I think many of you have, is the answer. The answer of how you can change your life. Because we don't just invest for the fun of it. We invest because we want that future vision of ourselves to be met. Now, sometimes we don't get there, but it's a really important thing because if not, you kind of feel like you've let yourself down. And in this world, when I started my career, life was a lot easier. You know, the 90s were a great time to be in markets. There was limited volatility when there were. It was a crisis that was kind of tradable, like the Asian crisis. Then we had the dot-com bubble. These were kind of big macro events where you could really make some returns. If I came out of the hedge fund industry, and people made big returns over that period of time. But after that, returns got crushed on everything, particularly after 2008. Just how bank regulations changed the nature of risk-taking, what people were able to invest in, and the expected returns as GDP growth, trend rates came down across the world, as rates came down. And what you found is suddenly the expected returns out of stuff like the stock market just weren't good enough. And it's become a problem for all of us, is the cost of many things has gone up, particularly assets. But our wages generally haven't gone up anywhere near as much. Just look at the houses around you. The one you were trying to buy that doubled in price. But your salary hasn't gone up. And that's all part of this whole idea about how fucked up our future has become because of this demographic issue and the debt issues of the past. Those have now clogged up the economy and ruined all of our opportunity sets. And we all have to find a way to figure this out. And we've talked about this a lot on Real Vision. We had an immensely successful series called How to Unfuck Your Future. And we've actually got part two of How to Unfuck Your Future coming up. So watch this space, and we're going to cover everything from the big problems from commercial real estate to financial repression to also the opportunities in technology investing, crypto, obviously, and a whole bunch of other things. So it'll tell you where the problems lie, which you all know, but you don't know all of. And I urge you to go back to watch some of the content from the previous campaign, where you can see about the big issues of demographics, for example, and my piece that introed it all back then. Now, obviously, I'll be doing something for this too. But I found one thing above all others really unfucked my future, and that was crypto. You know, I've talked about the value of having an income and the value of, you know, businesses and those kind of things, and how to have lifestyle goals, and that lifestyle is the ultimate bank. But you also want the opportunity to get ahead, to start beating the game a bit. And crypto was the thing that really unfucked my future. And it's unfucking many of your future now, as long as you don't, sorry to swear so much, fuck this up. You know, it's really important that if you've been given the gift of the biggest macro opportunity of all time, that really you don't mess the whole thing up by doing stupid stuff. And again, it's like hold 80 or 90% in your core major positions. Those should be in the top five tokens only. Then have a degen bad where you want to trade FOMO, meme coins, or whatever you want, NFTs. You can do that, but not with the main part of your portfolio. There's plenty of returns to be made without taking the risk for that 100x. Those things don't come off along often, and very few people nail them. But crypto really is the biggest opportunity. It dwarfs everything else in risk-adjusted returns. And that, for me, was the big unlock. And it continues to be an unlock to today. And I think it's going to be with that for you too. So in this next journey, man, we're switching the tables. This time, Mooch is interviewing me. I've interviewed him many times. He's a good friend of mine. And what we're trying to do here is he's trying to pick my brain in how I got into this in the first place, how I'm thinking about it, and what I've been thinking going forwards. And I just thought it might add a bit of value for you guys. Anyway, hope you enjoy conversation between myself and Mooch. Join me, Raoul Powell, as I go on a journey of discovery through the macro, crypto, and exponential age landscapes. In The Journeyman, I talk to the smartest people in the world so we can all become smarter together. I don't like making these predictions because both people like you and I get beaten up over the head with it and said, why didn't it happen?
Yes, I mean, I've made a lot of wrong predictions, which is why I want you to be wrong as well. Misery loves company, Raoul.
So as long as people accept that I am going to be 100% wrong.
Welcome to Wealthion and Speak Up, and thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Anthony Scaramucci. Before we start, I want to remind you that our mission at Wealthion is to help investors achieve their financial goals. We say become financially resilient in other ways in life, of course, as well. But financially resilient is the motto for Wealthion. So if you're interested in some expert guidance, go to Wealthion.com for a free no-obligation consultation with one of our fully vetted registered investment advisors. And while you're there, don't forget to subscribe and share our shows. Remember, Wealthion is a conversation with you, our vibrant community, so keep the feedback coming. We want to hear what you have to say. And now let's dive into the show. I've got a great guest this week, a dear friend, Raoul Paul. He is an author and an expert on many topics, macro crypto, Web3, and more. Raoul Paul of Real Vision, welcome to Speak Up.
It's good to see you, my friend. We're both in the tropics today, so we can gloat.
Yeah. Well, I'm wearing my, I don't know what this is. I think it's called a lei. You like that? Because you know you like that.
You've got the necklace. Like I've got the bracelet.
So yes, I'm here in Hawaii. So I want everybody, every Speak Up viewer to eat their hearts out. I'm here in Hawaii. And you're obviously on Grand Cayman or Little Cayman.
I came over from Little Cayman yesterday. I was there for a week. I've just come over to Grand Cayman. Because, you got to live between two small Caribbean islands.
Hey, everyone. We're going to take a quick break right now to hear a word from our partners. We'll be right back with more of the day's top analysis on the Real Vision Daily Briefing. Join 5,000 attendees for the largest AI event in Asia at Super AI Singapore, the 5th and 6th of June, 2024. Raoul Powell hit the stage with Edward Snowden, Benedict Evans, Balaji Srinivasan, and over 150 others, joining the industry's most influential to explore and unveil the next wave of transformative AI technologies. With 5,000 attendees and a diverse range of side events, Singapore will become a vibrant AI hub for a full week from the 3rd to the 9th of June. Visit realvision.com/superAI to register and get 20% off tickets with the code REALVISION. Link in the description.
Have you been using Mint to manage your finances? First, the bad news. Mint is shutting down. Now the good news. There's a better alternative. Monarch Money. Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and saying they're loving it. Have you been frustrated with personal finance apps that are cluttered with ads, difficult to use, or rarely updated? So was Monarch. They built a new kind of personal finance app that's intuitive and powerful and ad-free and constantly improving based on customer feedback. Monarch has a tool that allows you to easily import your data from Mint and keep all of your tags and categories. Unlike other personal finance apps, Monarch's simple, intuitive design makes it easy to set up, customize, and use. Monarch has built-in features to collaborate with your partner, family, or financial advisor. Invite them to your account at no extra cost, and they'll get their own login info and a joint view of all your finances. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all of your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, set goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now you can get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/vision. That's monarchmoney.com/vision for your extended 30-day free trial.
Amen. And you, and by the way, and you deserve to live there because you've been right about so many different things. The first time I talked to you, by the way, about this, obviously we go back 3 decades to Goldman Sachs, where we both share time there. The first time I talked to you about all things Web3, Bitcoin, crypto, was November of 2020. And I had just taken a position in Bitcoin. This is before my Ethereum and Solana positions. And you were explaining this stuff to me. And so before we go into where you are today, I want to go back. I want to go back to the day where the rock hit you in the head. And you said, wait a minute, I've got to be a part of this. Because, Raul, you're a traditional finance guy, as am I. But yet you saw something and you were brave enough to make the transition. Tell our viewers and listeners what that was.
So my moment happened. So I'd left Goldman. I was running a hedge fund. I'd left the hedge fund, opted out of the rat race, moved to Spain. I was writing macroeconomic research, Global Macro Investor, which I still write. And I was writing and predicted the financial crisis and then the European crisis that came just after. I'm living in Spain. The banks are defaulting. They're going bust. They're taking people's money out of their accounts and saying, it's not your money anymore. I'm seeing what happened at Lehman Brothers, where nobody knows who owns what when a bank goes under. And I'm like, this is a huge problem. So I thought, maybe I can try and create the world's safest bank. So I went around the world with a bunch of family offices trying to start a bank. And we got stopped by the Dallas Fed. They said, you can't do a non-fractional reserve bank because you'll take all the deposits from the system. So we're just not going to allow it. But it's a good idea. I'm like, so a friend of mine, and I think you probably know him as well, Emil Woods and Chad Cascarilla.
Sure. Yeah.
They were Global Macro Investor subscribers. They said, take a look at Bitcoin. I'd kind of hit my radar screen in like 2011, but 2012, I went down the rabbit hole and realized actually this was an asset that you can own outside of the financial system that has value, and the blockchain rails could, everything in finance could be built upon them. That was my first idea. And so I wrote the first ever macro strategy piece about Bitcoin, I think ever written, back in March 2013. And I bought Bitcoin at $200. And then I've been in it ever since. And even when we started Real Vision, which is the kind of financial knowledge platform, the first video we ever did in 2014 had Bitcoin in it. We've taken as many people as possible on this journey to say, listen, crypto is really important. You just don't understand it yet. But everyone will find their way in how important it's going to be for a future financial system.
Well, you mentioned Chad, so I'm going to talk a little bit about him. I had dinner with him last week in Miami. Chad was an early OG sort of a Bitcoiner. He was mining Bitcoin under $100 a coin. And he saw something that you're explaining, and I'll just throw in a few Chad quotes. He was like, this is an electronic data system that can tabulate and keep track of the world's wealth, fully distributed, fully transparent, and it's hard, so it can't be manipulated. And one of the things that you and I have seen over the course of our career is that we do get the money from a third party because people generally don't like and don't trust each other. And so they need a third party to validate things for them. But what we have found over 5,000 years is that third party has a tendency to corrupt the money, corrupt the tabulation of wealth by inflating the system. Of course, we had Lynn Alden, a friend of yours and mine, last week on the show talking about broken money. So before I switch over to macro, Raul, why is this so important? Why would this be so important to an individual, a high net worth individual, a middle class individual? Why would this sort of tabulation software system be so important?
So I'm going to give two levels. The first, the very, very big picture level, is the world is awash with debt. Global debt is 400% of global GDP. These are bananas numbers. So what does that mean? We talk about debt a lot. What it means really is the collateral, the assets, the back of the system have lots and lots of people claiming on them. So if anything goes wrong, you get a fraction of your money back. Also, we're learning that banks are now bailing in creditors. So you find that the issue in a leverage world is you actually don't think, whatever you think you own, you don't actually own. It can be taken away from you. That's the real issue we're trying to solve here at a very top level, is how do I keep that recorded ownership of what is mine and what is yours, and don't pollute them because some third party uses them for their own means. And then before you know it, nobody knows anything. But the other big change was obviously the internet. So when I got into this journey, the internet was around, but it wasn't the scale of what it is now. We're now creating these global nation states that are digital, that operate outside of the US or the UK or Europe. And they need a system of, as we get more digital, each day our lives get more digital. Digital assets now have value. This digital infrastructure is much more efficient at moving stuff around and recording the ownership. So if we now go to this system where in the United States you buy a house and it gets stamped and go to a notary and then it get recorded in a registrar, this can be instantaneous, everywhere and nowhere, and always verifiable. So it's really the operating system for the digital age. And without it, it kind of doesn't function. It's all a bit clunky. But with this, it's instantaneous settlement, recorded ownership, and transfer of everything.
Yeah, see, I mean, this is where you got me with the bug 3.5 years ago. I looked at Bitcoin. I have to confess this to people. And I didn't understand it. And I thought, okay, wait a minute. This is just a cryptographic code on the internet. Why would somebody pay $42,000 for that? And then it dawned on me what you're saying, that this is actually a broad-based tabulation system. And if you think about what money actually is, well, it's a broad-based tabulation system. We're using this technology known as money so that we can transact with each other without bartering. But you and I both know, unfortunately, because of our debt-laden societies, the money gets corrupted by central banks and it gets corrupted by politicians. We were told by Jerome Powell last week in a 60 Minutes interview, you know, we're going to have debt for as far as the eye can see. There's a fiscal crisis coming to the United States unless politicians are going to intervene and become less reckless with their spending. And so I want to shift gears.
Well, hold on. I want to go back to one point before we do.
Go ahead,
there's
please.
Another layer
please.
On this, which was this thing that happened to both of us really 3 years ago, which was Ethereum. It's like, what is this smart contract business? So I want people to understand that everything humans do is basically a contract. All societies are organized by contracts. Me appearing with you was a contract over email. Even how societies work, how religions work, everything, they're contracts. Some are not that important. Like meeting a friend for a drink, you can say, hey, listen, I can't make it. Nobody's going to sue you for it. It might cost you more drinks next time, but, you know, that kind of thing. But others are really important. Insurance contracts, derivative contracts, contracts for ownership of property. All of this can now be digital, so you don't have to trust a third party. So we're now away from the system of money. We're now talking about verified truth, electronically verifiable truth done by code. So that means we can then get rid of middlemen all over the place. And we've all spent too much money on lawyers. We've all spent too much money on accountants. We've all spent money with notaries. All of this stuff disappears. Things like insurance companies don't need to be insurance companies anymore. They're just contracts of payments and contracts for pooling of capital. So it can be in literally anything, from a ticket to a sports event to the most complex derivative contract in the world, can actually go on this new rails. So it's much bigger than either of us first thought when we first saw it. It's like, yeah, no, oh, wow, no question about everything.
Yeah, no question. And we'll get to Solana as well. So tie that in for us to the current macro situation, because you and I both know what we're talking about is still quite small in the global economy. The market capitalization of all of these cryptocurrencies, perhaps $1.7 trillion, again, based on market prices. Bitcoin is roughly half that at about $850 billion U.S. dollars, closing in on a trillion. But I guess the question I have is, what is happening in the world that has you so confident that this will rise for everybody? And mainstream, Raul, it will mainstream.
So it's kind of at three levels. Firstly, people understand that the system is broken and they're looking for answers. Some people choose gold. Some people choose Bitcoin. People use different ways of getting around this. They can feel it. It's all around you. You can see it with populism. You can see it with just how markets react. So there's this feeling that I need to find an answer here. A lot of that is being driven by, we know there's all this debt and I'm scared of it. Okay, that's good. The other thing is, what is the answer that the central banks chose, or the governments? It was create more money. So you've got this macro backdrop of debt and this fear. So that's driving adoption. And then people are finding new use cases like NFTs for smart contract stuff. That's creating a technology adoption like anything, like the internet was. And it happens to be the fastest adoption of any technology the world has ever seen, except AI, which has been faster. But we're also finding that the central banks are debasing currency. They're making our money less valuable. So we're looking for things that are a store of value over time. That's not necessarily against goods inflation. It's against the thing that governments and central banks always do. They clip the corners off the coins until you've got no coin left. That's a way of taxing you without you knowing. And that's to pay the debts that the government has because of the aging population and all the debts out there. So those two things are driving the movement of crypto. So the crypto price is based off those two issues. The adoption of the technology, as everybody's starting to build on this new tech stack, and because it solves a lot of problems. And then it's the thing that the central banks are doing, are devaluing your currency all the time. That creates a super mega trend within this. Now, it as a space is growing on average, including the bear markets, which are brutal, as we all know, it's growing at 100% a year as a space. So there are 516 million wallets as of end of last year, active wallets. If it's growing at 100%, by the end of this year, it's a billion. Then the end of the year after, it's 2 billion. So the numbers are vast as people are adopting it. Now, the difference here between this and the internet or the mobile phone is we were users of the internet and mobile phone, but we didn't make money out of it unless you happen to own the right shares. But nobody could own the infrastructure of the internet. Different parts were. Here, you can actually own the thing by owning a token. So we're getting to participate in something that has never happened for humanity, which is a global infrastructure being built by everybody around the world at the same time, and we can own a fraction of it. So this is, at an investor level, why it now matters to everybody, this is the first global homogenous investment product the world has ever seen that can operate like this. So it's the same product. Bitcoin is Bitcoin in India as it is in Nigeria, as it is in London, as it is in Hawaii. It's the same thing. Indian investors can't trade Tesla shares. Yes, they can trade gold, but they don't have access to it because you have to go to the store and buy gold jewelry, and you've lost a lot of the markup within that. But here, anybody can get a wallet because it's on the internet, and you can send money home to your mother in the Philippines from the United States instantaneously. And by just owning one of the tokens, an Ethereum token or whatever it is, you've got a share of it. So if more people adopt it, you get richer. This is like one of the greatest schemes the world has ever seen in creating mass wealth, not for Wall Street, but for retail, who got to front run all of this, and create a new system that solves the problem of what's the investment, what the central banks and governments are doing, and solves the problem of an over-indebted society. I mean, that's how big it is.
We're going to take another quick break to hear a word from our partners. We'll be right back with more of the day's top analysis on the Real Vision Daily Briefing. You've heard the headlines. Inflation is unchecked. The dollar is collapsing. The government is printing too much money. The fear is real, but there is a solution: gold. The government can't print more gold, gold isn't collapsing, and gold's value increases during inflationary times. Noble Gold Investments is here to help you protect your wealth. Noble Gold Investments is the gold IRA company that Americans trust. The founders of Noble Gold have more than 20 years of combined experience in buying gold and silver. They've secured more than $1 billion in precious metals for their clients. Whether you're a seasoned investor or new to the game, Noble Gold Investments simplifies and secures your gold investment journey. Choose between a tax-advantaged gold IRA or have physical gold delivered to your door. Noble Gold Investments ensures a seamless and easy transaction. Invest in something you can hold. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com/vision to get started. Don't wait. That's noblegoldinvestments.com/vision.
Yeah, and I just want to add a few things that you're saying, but I'm going to be more blunt about it. The central banks and the politicians have been drunk driving with the money, and the result of which their reckless behavior is eroding the wealth of lower and middle class people, primarily people who are hourly workers. They get their money, it comes in, they have it, but it's worth 10% less in 2 years, and they've lost and eroded their purchasing power. Something like Bitcoin is stable. It's unfettered by the government. Okay, so this is a decentralized system. We don't have to trust anybody, but the decentralized nature of the system. So the facts are, we don't trust any central authority because we're all working on it together to make it decentralized. So with that, tell us where we are. Are the rates coming down? Do we have more inflation ahead? Is there disinflation coming? So, Raul, where do you think the stock market is, et cetera?
So let's look at those two component parts, main parts. One was the debt cycle. That's not changing. In fact, the governments are issuing more debt to pay the interest on the previous debt. And that's pushed interest rates up and it's made it even harder. So the debt keeps going up. Okay, so we haven't solved that one. And it's just accelerating because we're now having to pay the interest on the COVID bond issuance, debt issuance. So it's going vertical right now. So we know they're incentivized to continue this path. On the other side is, are they going to debase the currency? Well, they've been doing the opposite. In 2022, why crypto had such a bear market, as most things did, is they were taking liquidity out because there was inflation. So here we are, where if we look at Trueflation, which is an on-blockchain measure of inflation, it's at like 1.4%. So inflation's come down. It's not the boogeyman anymore. Growth, interest rates are too high for that kind of environment at 5.5%. So the probability is they're going to lower interest rates. We're seeing China in an economic mess. They've got a full debt deflation going on. Same issues, aging population, high debts, everything's blowing up. They're likely to stimulate further. The Europeans are likely to end up stimulating further, and eventually the US will stimulate more as well, because they need to get growth to pay for these interest costs. So that is what lies ahead. And then we've got the other sweet spot in the middle of this, which is politicians hand out candy during elections. And the candy that everybody wants is stimulus. So they will hand out stimulus, which needs to be paid for. It either ends up on the Fed balance sheet or some other liquidity measure to allow the government to fund itself. So what we've got is a high probability that our money's going to be worth less. Asset prices are going to rise, but our wages won't, which is the big problem. So our future selves are getting poorer because we can't afford as many assets. And we've got this massive wave of debts to be refinanced. So that's normally a very positive backdrop for crypto. Lots of liquidity. And liquidity is what drives all markets. But crypto is the supermassive black hole that sucks in so much capital when this happens.
I mean, it's a mouthful. I didn't get it in the beginning, Raul, because I went to a classical economic training. You know, I'm going to date myself, mid-80s. We were talking about stagflation and the Fed and managing the debt. And when I left school, I think the U.S. government had under $1.5 trillion of debt at that time. We've hyper-cycled this debt. And so let's just give everybody this understanding. From George Washington to George W. Bush, $7 trillion of debt, which we all thought was staggering. But we're now Barack Obama, Donald Trump, Joe Biden, they add $27 trillion of debt. We're at $34 trillion. So, you know, average citizen, Ro, explain it. How are they going to be okay? Is the average citizen going to be okay? Can the government get out of this? Will the government just have to print the $34 trillion coin? What happens, Ro?
So the average citizen's not going to be okay unless they take action. This is why people are angry, whether you're on the left or whether you're the right. You're angry because the system is failing you. And what's happening is you're a wage slave and you can't buy a house. Or you can't invest as much of the stock market that your parents could do. You just, A, cost of living is high, but B, asset prices keep coming up. And that's because they're debasing the currency. And what debasing the currency is, it sounds like a complicated economics term, but what it basically means is they're robbing you of the power to buy assets by, it's been on average 15% a year since 2008. So you're losing the ability to buy assets by 15% a year. So each year you sit on a pile of cash and don't buy a house, that house is roughly going up at 15% a year. That's bananas. You sit on cash for 2 years or you don't have any savings, it gets more and more expensive. What they're actually doing here is taxing you, but by hiding it. It's like a socialization of all of this costs. But what's so massively unfair is it disproportionately hits people who are wage earners who don't own assets. So you and I, we have assets. And so your assets offset, maybe your wages, your income doesn't rise as much. But for the average person, they clock in, they go to work, they come home. Even if you're a dentist or a doctor or a lawyer, you're still in the same boat because your wages are not rising as fast as asset prices. So you're just, your future self gets poorer because what an asset is, and it can be the same for Bitcoin or gold or real estate or equities, it's a way of putting your savings into something that you can get them back in the future. So it's your future consumptions, your future life is in those. But you can buy less of them, so your future life is getting poorer. So everybody's getting screwed over here, and they don't understand why. Fancy words like debasement come along. It's like, I don't really understand what that means. It means
right. They
are robbing you of the power to use your wages to gain an advantage for yourself later in life.
Yeah, so they listen, ladies and gentlemen, we don't want to overtly tax you because we want to stay in power. And we want to overpromise you goods and services that we can't afford because we're not overtly taxing you. So what we're going to do is manufacture debt, a result of which the money that you're earning is going to be worth less. And so it's a form of taxation, this debasement that you're describing, this inflation is an invisible form of taxation. And by the way, the mystery of why it works, Raul, I believe is because the numbers go up. And so if I'm worth $500,000 and now all of a sudden as a result of inflation, my house is worth $750,000, I actually feel nominally richer even though I could be poorer. And this is why, this is the great mystery of why it's working for people. Because they don't really 100% understand it.
No, because you're dead right, is that people don't understand because it looks like their stock market, their 401k has gone up and all of this. But that's only a small percent. That's like 10% of the population who have assets. And those people are very happy with it. The more assets you own, the more powerful you are, the more assets you probably own, the less likely you are going to call the authorities into question. The average guy working in Cincinnati who suddenly can't make his ends meet and can't buy an apartment, what voice does he have in this? And he's been taxed at 15% a year and has been 15% a year. And he has been since 2008. And he just doesn't understand what's going on. He doesn't know who to blame. So what they blame is one party or the other. And it's not.
Yeah. No, it's very sad. Before I go to these questions, because unfortunately with you and me, I could talk to you for several hours. And I've got a limited time on the show because people, frankly, they like the show. Well, that's the feedback, but they have very limited attention spans. But before I go there, you bought a new car. Okay, did you buy a Tesla?
Yeah.
Tell me why. Tell me why you bought a Tesla. Then we're going to take some questions and we'll get back to Bitcoin. And of course, I got to ask you about Solana. Why'd you buy the Tesla?
I bought two Teslas, in fact, one for me and one for the wife. Firstly, I just heard a lot of good things about them. And when I drove one, I was like, this is like a quantum leap in cars. And I've had Ferraris, Porsches, BMWs, Mercedes, I've had them all. Go on this Tesla, I'm like, this was the iPhone moment of cars. It's like, this is so much better than anything that's ever preceded it. And, you know, I look, there's a few nice cars on the island here. It's not full of sports cars because the roads are pretty crap. But there's a Bugatti and there's a few Ferraris and there's plenty of Porsches. My Tesla Model X Plaid is the second fastest car on the island. It's a seven-seater.
Right.
They're crazy and they're amazing cars. So I like them. And also I like the fact that I don't have to go to the gas station. We have to import all of our fuel on Ireland. It's, you know, it's expensive. If I can make a green choice, I'll take a green choice every day. Why not? You know, we live in a fragile little nature here.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You know, I like your moves. I like following you around, Raul. Okay,
bought one yet?
I personally don't own one, but my son worked for Tesla, and he has, I think, two of them, and absolutely loves them. And I do think a Tesla is in my future. The problem is, you know, I'm a Long Island Guido, and I always wanted to have a Lamborghini. You know, and so I'm
have both.
Holding out
so
for
I've
a Lamborghini.
I've got Iggy Pop's old Porsche. So I've got my gas guzzler.
I love that.
So it's Iggy Pop's old car because he lives here on Ireland. And I've got the Tesla.
Right.
It's the perfect balance.
I love that. Okay, before I go to the questions to the outside audience, okay, what does your portfolio look like right now? What moves are you making? And what advice for this year ahead for the markets?
So my advice is I spend a lot of time, I haven't talked a lot about it, but I spend a lot of time looking at the macro economy, what is going and where it's going to drive assets. And my view is that the issues we've been talking about, printing of money, excess debt, are going to be the feature of the next 2 years. How do you pay for that? And so therefore, I am very aggressively positioned in crypto because the only other secular trend there is, I can divide any assets like the S&P 500 or real estate or gold by the central bank balance sheet, the Fed balance sheet, i.e. how much money are the Fed printing or putting on their books. And most of them are pretty flatline. Then you look at the NASDAQ and it's going up because we're getting more digital every day, so there's endless demand. And then crypto goes up exponentially, as we know. So the fastest horse in the race is crypto. So I'm actually 100% of my liquid net worth in this. And I have been actually since 2020. And I use the bear markets to add into, because I think we're in a once-in-a-lifetime wealth accumulation opportunity for everybody. Be you rich or poor, you can still put 10% of your savings in as you go. And so that's how strongly I feel about it. It's not just a passing interest. It's not something I say on TV. It's something I actually truly believe in.
Okay, let's go to some outside questions, Raul, if you're cool with that. Do you think if Biden softens his stance on digital assets, it would secure the 2024 election for him? This is from Bob from Texas via email. Thank you, Bob. What's your thoughts there? I can give a few thoughts as well.
My view is that Coinbase has 110 million accounts. They're not all the US. Let's say 50% of the US. It's probably more, of which there are about 12 million actives, and I think that'll go up. So think of those as the voters. So there's a swing vote here of somewhere around 10 to 20 million voters, probably, who care about this enough. So
yes,
it probably matters reasonably. Yes. You need to look at the distribution of crypto owners. Are they all on the coasts? I'm not sure. I think it's pretty evenly split. So I think it would help the Democrats. I think whoever's going to take it, we've seen RFK take it. So that's the independent. We've seen the Republicans haven't fully embraced it. Vivek did, but we don't know where he's going to shake out. Trump's obviously made the NFTs. He hasn't made the I Hate Mooch NFTs yet, but I'm sure they're coming.
Well, yeah, I mean, I hope he makes those. I'll be buying those, actually. He'll make some money off of me if he makes the I Hate Mooch. But, you know, Trump said in 2018 he absolutely hated Bitcoin. But I think Trump is more interesting than Biden in this way because he has no principles. He's like a spinning weather vane. He'll go with crypto. This could swing the election. So, Bob, I think the Democrats are making a terrible mistake. Raul's being a little bit more polite than me. Let's go to the next one.
I agree with your point is if the Democrats screw this up, I don't think people are going to forget and they will vote.
Yeah. Yeah, no question. Okay, so this is for you, Raul, because this is right up your, it's right up the fairway for you. Will there be a super cycle in this bull run? This is from Daniel from Florida.
How I think there's a 60% chance that it's just a normal crypto cycle. So Bitcoin finishes 150,000 to 250,000. Yeah, you know, it does a few X the last all-time highs. There's a 20% chance that because of the ETF and how the economic cycle works, everyone gets overexcited about rate cuts, whatever, that we kind of front load it and it's short. But then there's another 20% chance that this actually extends further than we expect because institutions and others come into the space and it broadens out. So I think 60% chance normal cycle, 20% super cycle, 20% actually a short cycle. Something like that.
Okay. All right. Well, no, that's exactly what we're looking for. Let's go to the next question. What's the status of silver and gold bullion? Razik from New Zealand.
So look, gold and silver have always played this role that Bitcoin does. It always will do. It is a global store of wealth. Gold is probably the world's true global currency. But what we're finding is in a digital age, they don't work as well. Because I can send you Bitcoin in a few seconds, but for me to transfer gold ownership is a very physical process. Or we move paper rights around, which is kind of goes against the case for it. So gold will do fine in the same environment. It's there to save you. It's just not done as well because it doesn't have this technology super cycle behind it. So I prefer crypto than gold or silver, but they're ways of skinning the same cat, as you say.
All right, let's go to another question. If there are more questions, has the central bank fashioned its policy to purposely create and transfer taxpayer funds to the super wealthy?
No, they're purposely doing it to stop the assets blowing up. The reason being, our actual problem is actually demographics. There's too many old people. And the old people all own equities and they also have all the wealth. So if you were to allow the market to go down 70%, the people want, you know, we want that bear market to show the bankers that they've done it wrong. We wipe out 70% of the wealth of America. You simply can't do it. And that's the collateral for all of the debt as well. So you blow up everything. That's what we learned in 2008, which was like, they're not going to go there. That was what Draghi did in 2012. It's like, whatever it takes, but we are not going to do that, which is the 1929 right. outcome. So what they're actually right. trying to do is rescue the baby boomers and rescue the governments who are trying to keep economic growth going with an indebted old population. So they're not trying to transfer money to the super wealthy. That was the unintended consequences. I don't think they understood what they were doing was debasing right. currency. And when they learned it, they're like, oh, this is magic. Let's just keep pressing the magic button. Assets go up and we're saved from ever a debt deflation.
But Craig is on to something, because the debasement of currency, the super wealthy own the assets, Raul. So if they debase the currency, the assets go up in nominal value relative to those assets. And of course, then it makes it harder for the non-wealthy who don't own assets. So Craig, it's not, I think Raul is 100% correct. I mean, these are our opinions, of course. It wasn't done intentionally, but they painted themselves into a corner in terms of the matrix of their decision-making, and they're now pressing buttons relative to what? Their only alternative is to do what they're doing, which is why people like Raul and I own things like Bitcoin and Solana and Ethereum.
To play that out, what if they didn't do it? People say they should just let the markets clear. Okay, so letting the market go down 80% wipes out most of the wealth, the entire financial system. Nobody cares about the financial system, I get it. But the wealth of the retirees in their pension plans, the farmers, the teachers, the firemen, all of these people, they all rely on pensions. And you're going to take that?
They're not doing that, Raul. I think we both know that. All right, let's see. Any more questions out there? Let's fire in another question if there is one. I think the U.S. will start its digital dollar and attach it to natural gas, which we have in abundance, and can supply the world for 200 years. What's your thoughts on this? So this is interesting. Will they use natural gas as collateral for the digital dollar?
I don't think so. And the reason being is natural gas is a bitch to store. You can't store it. There's also too much of it, so you keep devaluing it. Because we've got so much natural gas, and that's without taking into account how much Qatar has got. They've got ridiculous amounts. Russia's got stupid amounts. Iran has got stupid amounts. Yeah. There's way too much natural gas to use. The other thing of natural gas is actually it's quite energy inefficient in terms of kilojoules per unit. So it's cheap, but it's not that efficient. So the dollar, the US having natural gas is great, because if they can export it, they get money back in. It supports the actual dollar. I don't think anybody wants to peg their currency to a commodity, because then your entire economy is pegged to the ups and downs of a commodity.
Okay, I agree with you. And the only other thing I would say, Tom, is that because the U.S. doesn't control all of the supply of natural gas, this would be a non-starter for the U.S. And I'm hopeful that we won't have a digital dollar. By the way, I think that we have solutions in the stablecoin industry that provide that. It's not clear to me from the Fourth Amendment, the right to privacy in the U.S., that we would want a digital dollar. Any other questions out there? Asking our producers. It's your position on Anthony's neckwear today. Mike and Dave from the control room. I think that's for you, Raul.
Look, we're both in the tropics. I've got the bracelets. He's got the necklace. I'm with him.
I'm trying to make Mike and Dave green with envy. Okay, I hope you
they're
are
just
freezing.
Bitter. They're just bitter. Because they're
yes, they are. And I hope
cold.
You are. I hope you are freezing where you are. While Raul and I enjoy the sunshine. Raul, we're going to wrap in a second, but I got to pin you for one moment on some 18-month price targets. Let's start with Bitcoin, Ethereum, and then let's finish up with one of my favorite coins, Solana. So Bitcoin, where is it in 18 months?
I don't like making these predictions, because both people like you and I get beaten up over the head with it and said, why didn't it happen?
Yes, I've made a lot of wrong predictions, which is why I want you to be wrong as well. Misery loves company, Ralph.
So as long as people have said that I am going to be 100% wrong, I'm kind of thinking Bitcoin finishes this cycle closer to 250,000. I think a lot of people are lower. I think it might be higher because of the dynamics of the ETF and other stuff. I'm pegging Ethereum between 15 and 20,000. And I'm pegging Solana between 750 and 1,000.
Wow. Okay, that's a big move for Solana.
Yeah, so I think it's the relative outperform. So my view is Bitcoin starts the cycle and outperforms in the start. Then people go out the risk curve, ETH. We're going to have an ETH ETF. We'll see the market pick up there.
Right.
But the horse that's moving faster is the one that's coming from a smaller adoption base. It moves faster,
smart contract network. And obviously my good friend Anatoly, I'm rooting for him and I own a lot of that. So That's full disclosure. Both are Orlo and I own Solana.
Lots of it.
Okay. But listen, you've been terrific. You got to come back on Speak Up. We appreciate you being on. And hopefully next time I can do this live in that beautiful home of yours somewhere in the Grand Cayman Islands. But this is Speak Up with Anthony Scaramucci. Raul, thank you so much for joining today's show.
Thank you, my friend. Good to see you all, everyone. And you can find me on Twitter if you want to ask any questions. I'm always around. So over recent months, I've been showing you content where I'm being interviewed as well, because I'm trying to give you the contextualization of what I'm learning from these journeymans, which you should be learning too. But also, when I'm talking about what's in my head and what I've learned, you get to see these marker points of my understanding along on the way. Nobody has a perfect understanding. We're all in this journey together, and I'm just trying to act as a guide. And these pieces where people interview me or I do a piece to camera, they're just updating my thinking for you guys. And look, hopefully it's helpful. I certainly won't always be right. But really what I'm trying to do in all of this is I'm trying to help you in your journey. It's the kind of thing that we do at Real Vision. We give you the knowledge, tools, and network to help you succeed in your financial journey. And those things are really vital. And this whole how to unfuck your future really is that, just wrapped up in a nice tagline. That is what we do. That is our job. And so listen, if you're not a Real Vision member, go to realvision.com, sign up for free, and come and watch the content to help you unfuck your future. I can't stress how important it is. And if you just give yourself a bit of time and a bit of effort, not just watching some random YouTube influencer or some random bloke on Twitter hoping they're going to save you, but instead come and see the world's best experts talk in depth about what really matters, it's going to change your life. And we've changed lives for the last 10 years at Real Vision, and we'll continue to do so. It's basically our mission and our purpose. Anyway, good luck out there. I'll see you soon.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. At Real Vision, we arm you with the expert knowledge, time-efficient tools, and a powerful network to help you succeed on your financial journey. Get a taste of financial freedom with our free offer at realvision.com/free.